This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
I want you to imagine with me for a moment that you are returning home after several decades to a family who didn't even know that you were still alive. There's a story about a great tabi'i. His name is Farrukh Abi Abd Rahman. And Farrukh was a free slave of Al-Rabi' ibn Ziyad, rahimahullah ta'ala, who was praised by Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu as one of the greatest commanders in the history of Al-Islam. And when he passes away and he leaves behind Farrukh, this is a man that goes out and strives in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just as he was taught to do. This is a man who follows in the path of his mentors. This is a man who spends for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and has absolutely no connection to this dunya. And he marries a woman by the name of Suhaila. And as he's sitting in the masjid, and the call for the next battle comes to go out in another expedition in Khurasan, he comes home to his now pregnant wife, Suhaila. And he says to her, listen, here is 30,000 dinars. Jama'atuha min ghana ibn harb. I have collected it through the various missions of the spoils of war. Fathammiriha. So invest it. وَأَنْفِقِي عَلَى نَفْسِكِ وَعَلَى وَلَدِكِ. Spend on yourself and on the child that will be born to you. And بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى I'll come back to you when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decrees. He goes out, and I'm paraphrasing the story because it's a very long one and I don't want it to become the sole focus of the khutbah. But he goes out for almost 3 decades فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. And he comes home 27 years later. And when he enters into the house, the young man that was his son, who did not recognize him, rises up to approach him. And subhanAllah, up until this moment, you can imagine the mental anguish and torture of the wife that was waiting for her husband to come home. And she would ask the expeditions, what happened? هَلْ وَقَعَ أَسِيرًا Did he become a prisoner in the hands of the enemies? And that was a theory. هَلْ مَاتَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ Did he die in the path of Allah? And that was a theory, and that was the most likely one. What happened to my husband? And some people would say, I think I saw him there. But he enters into the house, and this young man approaches him to fight him because he thinks he's a stranger. And he says to him, يَا عَدُوَ اللَّهِ خُرِجْ مِنْ مَنْزِلِي O enemy of Allah, get out of my home. Don't you know that you're infringing upon the sanctity of a home? And he says to him, Ya adu Allah, O enemy of Allah, you get out of my house. This is my house. And as the commotion starts between the two men, said that Imam Malik rahimahullah ta'ala, he comes in and he says to Farrukh, who's an old man at this point, he says, Ayyuha Sheikh, laka sa'atun fi ghayri hadhihi ad-dar. You can find any other home. This is, عيب عليك, go, it's okay. Just go to another house. Why are you coming into this house like this? There are many homes for you to go to. Why do you have to come into this house in particular? And he says, هَذِهِ دَارِ This is my house. وَنَا فَرُّخ I own this house. This is my house. And the young man says to him, that I will not leave you until I take you to the Sultan. Wallahi la faraktuka illa عند السلطان. I'm going to take you to the judge. I'm going to get you in trouble. Why are you coming into this house? And what is this claim? And as they're both fighting, the woman walks in. And she solves the debate. And she says, that is my husband. And that is my son. Meet your father who you haven't seen for almost 3 decades. And subhanAllah, as this family reunion is happening, he says to her, you know, what has life been like? And what happened since I've been gone? And what happened to the 30,000 dinars? How did you spend them? What do we own now? And she said, go to the masjid. And he goes to the masjid, and from a distance, he sees that same young man wrapped in a turban and the people all sitting around that young man. And this young man is a teacher of Imam Malik and Imam Abu Hanifa. May Allah be pleased with them. This young man is a teacher of the likes of Sufyan al-Thawri. This young man has met some of the greatest of the companions in the Tabi'een. And he comes back home, and she says to him, فَأَيِّهُمَا أَحَبُّ إِلَيْكَ ثَلَاثُونَ أَلْفَ دِنَارٍ. Which of them is more beloved to you? 30,000 dinars, أو هذا الذي هو فيه من الجاه. Or this glory that your son is in. And who was his son? Rabi'atul Ra'i, radiallahu ta'ala anhu wa rahimahullah, the great scholar and teacher of the imams. And his investment that he left behind had yielded him a tabi'i for whom you still reap the rewards. Now, this is a story that shows up in the books of history. I paraphrased it for you. Some of the scholars say it's authentic. Some of them say it's not. But there is certainly something of that sort that planted the seeds for Rabi'a, who became Amir al-Khurasan, the Amir of his people, who became one of the greatest scholars in the Islamic traditions. But subhanAllah, over the last few days, as I was looking at some of these people that came out of the prisons of Hama, after 40 years, can you imagine being in a tortured dungeon for 40 years and coming out to your people 40 years later, subjected to all sorts of torture? Your family doesn't even know that you're still alive, rising from a dungeon for 40 years. I said, Allahu Akbar. What are the conversations like? And we see them with the Palestinians, some of them that were taken into the Israeli prisons at the age of 5 years old and coming out at the age of 38 or 40 years old. And you see the shock of the mom, the shock of a spouse, the shock of a child. How do you catch someone up on all of that? I remember, subhanAllah, interacting with someone who was in a coma for over 10 years. How do you catch someone up who's been sleeping in a bed for 10 years and tell them all that happened over 10 years? How do you explain to the family, you're back? These are the types of surprises. These are the types of ajaib, the types of miracles that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows us in our lives. And while none of us, or I'd venture to say none of us, have probably had that type of an experience, all of us have been surprised by the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at various points of our lives. And there's a narration of a man named Warith ibn Amr, wa huwa min ahli al-Badia. He was from the Bedouins in the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who was sa'ilu an as-sa'ah. In some of the books of hadith, he's the one or one of the people, the Bedouins, that approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam aggressively and said, "Mata sa'ah? When is the hour?" Because you could always count on the people from the outskirts to ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam these direct questions. But he didn't just ask the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the hour. The idea was, you're a prophet of Allah, so you should tell me everything that's going to happen. Because this was a society that was used to soothsayers, that was used to magicians, that was used to people that give them the horoscopes, that was used to the people that tell them, you're going to marry this person, have this many children. That's the idea of someone that can look into another realm, as someone that can tell you the future. So he said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ya Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, qala inna ardana ajdabat, famata yanzilu al-ghayth? Our land has become barren. We're waiting for rain. So can you tell us when the rain is going to fall? وَتَرَكْتُمْ رَأَتِي حُبْلَ. And I left my wife and she's pregnant. فَمَتَى تَلِيدُ. When's she going to give birth? Can you give me a birthday in advance? Can you tell me when it's going to rain? Can you give me a birthday in advance? قَالَ وَقَدْ عَلِمْتُ أَيْنَ وُلِدْتُ فَبِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ أَمُوتُ. And I know where I was born. So can you tell me where I will die? And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed in Surah Luqman, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَا وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ. That indeed Allah alone has knowledge of the hour, and He sends down the rain, and He knows what's inside of the wombs. And no soul knows what it will earn tomorrow, and no soul knows in which land it will die, because verily Allah is the all-knowing and the all-aware. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَفَاتِيحُ الْغَيْبِ خَمْسِ, that the keys of the unseen are five. No Nabi of Allah knows these five things. And I want you to sit with that for a moment. No Prophet of Allah knows these five things, because sometimes it's hard to understand the psychology of the people around the Prophet ﷺ. He's so clearly divinely inspired. Why can't you see that? Because they didn't believe in gods. Everything in religion had been turned into stones and material. So you have to tell me what's going to happen tomorrow. You have to tell me what I'm getting out of this. You have to tell me what I'm getting out of that. They became a very transactional people. There's no akhirah. There's no إِذَا مِتْنَا وَكُنَّا تُرَابًا وَعِظَامًا. Like we die and we become bones and stones. What is it that we get out of this? And the Prophet ﷺ says, مَفَاتِيحُ الْغَيْبِ. There are five keys of the unseen. No Nabi of Allah, no Prophet of Allah knows these five things. And the Prophet ﷺ mentions, إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْفِ وَيَعْلُمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. And he recited the ayah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now I want you to pay attention to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us through this ayah. He's telling us the who. Allah sends the rain, the who. He's telling us what he sends, وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْفِ. He's telling us, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. Only Allah knows how it will come. He's telling us, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. When it will come. And he's telling us, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. And you don't know where it will come. So Allah Azza wa Jal in one ayah answers the who, how, what, when, and where. And the Prophet ﷺ called these مَفَاتِيحُ الْغَيْبِ, the five keys of the unseen. And when you sit with this for a moment, Allah has shown the Prophet ﷺ all types of things. Anbiya, before the Prophet ﷺ, raised the dead to life. The Prophet ﷺ has seen a Dajjal. The Prophet ﷺ has gone from Mecca to Jerusalem, led the prophets in prayer in Al-Aqsa, has been taken through the highest heavens, has seen all sorts of things that you cannot imagine. But even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and all of these anbiya of Allah who were able to stop the sun like Yusha ibn Nun alayhi salam, or who were able to raise the dead like Isa alayhi salam, none of them were told what's happening next. All of them had that concealed. And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was at the wedding of Rubayyah, one of the poets started to sing, وَفِينَا نَبِيٌ يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي غَدٍ. And we have amongst us a prophet who knows what will happen tomorrow. And the Prophet ﷺ, he could have took it. He could have said, you know, it's poetic license. It's art. It's culture. It's okay. It can mean different things. And in some ways, the Prophet ﷺ told us what will come next. Because if you think of ghad as in yawm al-qiyamah, as-sa'ah, the hour, the day of judgment, he told us, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, some of the signs. So maybe there's something there. But he doesn't do that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the middle of a wedding, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stops. And he says, أَمَّا هَذَا فَلَا تَقُولُوا. He said, look, ask for this. Don't say it. مَا يَعْلَمُ مَا فِي غَدٍ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. No one knows what is coming tomorrow except for Allah. The premise of this khutbah, dear brothers and sisters, is Allah is going to surprise you many times in life. Your life is full of surprises. Surprises as an ummah, surprises as an individual. If you were to look through the ahadith and you look at the words fuja'a, sudden death, a sudden loss of blessings, or faza'a, someone who is shocked by something out of nowhere. And we are a people that don't like al-maut al-fuja'a, a sudden death, because we like to prepare for death. These things that come out of nowhere, zawali ni'mati. The Prophet ﷺ used to seek refuge in Allah from a sudden decline in blessings. It's the premise that there are things that are ahead of us that none of us can predict, none of us know. And it is part of what makes the test of Bani Adam and the test of Ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam what it is in the first place. That you could have the greatest forecasters, political forecasters, economic forecasters, weather forecasters. They could tell you there is rain in the horizon. They could tell you there is risk tomorrow. They could tell you that this superpower is going to demolish this. But then you turn on the news the next day or you come outside and it is the complete opposite of what was forecasted. And sometimes that news comes to you from different places. And the Prophet ﷺ loved to remind us of that uncertainty. That in that uncertainty, that's where tawakkul is found in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's where trust in Allah is found, is in the uncertainty of what is ahead. And that's why Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was asked, did the Prophet ﷺ used to recite a shi'r? That he used to recite sometimes some poetry? Did he like some of the lines of poetry? And she said, radiallahu ta'ala anha, kana yatamathalu sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bi shi'r ibn Rawaha. The Prophet ﷺ liked the poetry of Ibn Rawaha. وَيَتَمَثَّلُ بِقَوْلِهِ يَأْتِيكَ بِالْأَخْبَارِ مَنْ لَمْ تُزَوُّدْ. That verily news will come to you from places you don't expect. And مَنْ لَمْ تُزَوُّدْ is someone that you did not commission, someone that you did not pay, someone you didn't subscribe to, someone that didn't travel with you, someone that doesn't have any familiarity to you, and someone pops up and gives you news and you have no idea how it came from this person. Meaning you invest in lines of certainty. You plan in certain ways. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shows you that those plans are not actually what makes things move. What does this mean for us as an ummah? As the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Before we talk about the potential of Gaza being free, and Gaza will be free, and Al-Aqsa will be free, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised it. Allah azza wa jal will free it. But before we talk about the way things are looking for Palestine, the way things are looking for the Ummah, the projection of this place and the projection of that place, let's actually start with the places where we have certainty. What does this mean for us as an Ummah? That we shouldn't be too hopeful in what seems stable. At any point, the most stable land can be overtaken from beneath or above. At any point, the most prosperous population can be tested with poverty. This is the sunnah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that at any point, your hope can turn into despair. Your stability can turn into insecurity. Your safety can turn into fear. Allah azza wa jalla can flip it upside down just like that. So as an ummah, even the places of the ummah, and I'm not just talking about the physical places, the areas of the ummah where we seem to be stable, we don't put too much stock into that. And on the opposite side, we don't despair in what seems absolutely impossible. I don't see a way. لا أرى طريقة. I don't see a way. طريقة النصر. I don't see a way for victory to come here. I don't see strategically how this is going to happen. I don't see how this is going to happen. It looks bleak. You're right. It can look bleak. It can look bleak. But I want you to just take the news over the last 2 weeks and be honest. When you turn on the news, did anyone think that the headlines would be South Korea or Syria? Was anyone anticipating any of this? No, because the headlines change very quickly. And subhanAllah, there's a psychology in the digital age, without getting too deep, that, you know, back then when you talk about your community and uncertainty, you know about your neighbors, you know about things that are happening a little bit down here or there. Uncertainty is whether your animals will give birth, whether the harvest will come. Uncertainty is in the weather. Uncertainty is in something of health. But when you're tied to global events, when you're tied to the world, because it's all at your fingerprints, psychologically as human beings, we tie ourselves to global events and to global actors. And I'm not talking about celebrities. I'm just talking about larger than life figures, whether they're ulama or whether they're celebrities, or whether they're political leaders. And Allah shows you how unstable that all is, because you can open the news and your favorite celebrity died in a plane crash, or your favorite celebrity committed suicide, or the young scholar had a heart attack, or the young political leader died in a car accident. And then these global events shift, and it just shows you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can turn things upside down very quickly and the circumstances change. But what does it mean on a personal level now? For every single one of us, you and I want you to think about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he went to Waraq ibn Nawfal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, and he told Waraqa what happened about the experience with Jibreel alayhi salam. And Waraqa said the eternal words, لَيْتَنِي أَكُونُ حَيًّا إِذْ يُخْرِجُكَ قَوْمُكَ. I wish I could be alive the day that your people run you out? And the answer of the Prophet ﷺ was,
أَوَ مُخْرِجِيَهُمْ?
People running me out? My people will run me out? He's the most beloved of his people, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Think about that physically on a day-to-day. That means that As-Sadiqul Amin, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the Prophet ﷺ would walk the streets of Mecca, at that point in his life, people would want him to come into their house. People would shower him with compliments. People would give the Prophet ﷺ their trust. People would praise the Prophet ﷺ without it being solicited. The Prophet ﷺ used to walk through the streets of Mecca like a hero, beloved to his people. And now this man is telling me, يُخْرِجُكَ قَوْمُكَ? Your people are going to run you away? Wait, what? And subhanAllah, 10 years later, the opposite circumstance exists where the Prophet ﷺ can't find anyone to take him in. Where it's a surprise that these six young men from Yathrib, from Al-Madinah Al-Munawwara, from the makings of the Ansar, would tell the Prophet ﷺ, come into us. Because the fortunes have completely changed to where it was surprising that I'd be kicked out. Now it's surprising that I would be welcomed. May Allah Azza wa Jal place the love of the Prophet ﷺ in our hearts. Allahumma ameen. What does this mean for us? Dear brothers and sisters, your cards are entirely different based on circumstances that you have zero control over. You're family planning and you've got all these dreams and hopes for your kids and then a disease suddenly strikes you. I remember being, subhanAllah, with someone and when you're an imam or when you deal with people on this level, you see someone who wakes up in a hospital bed and doesn't remember the car accident and they're missing limbs or they're missing something. I don't remember when this even happened. How do you tell someone, by the way, when you look down, and I've been in this situation, you're going to notice you don't have any legs anymore. And you don't remember the accident that took it away from you. You're planning these things for your career, and then political instability happens. You're planning these things for yourself. You have all these aspirations, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you with this. And then your calculations in life change altogether because you're planning with something entirely different. But the reality is that no person in here is going to have the next 10 years exactly as they predict. No one knows. No one of us is making the calculations to where we actually know what's going to happen. So what do? When we realize you can't determine the future as nearly as you like, no matter what you do. You embrace the uncertainty of the future with your certainty in the one who controls all time and all circumstances. And you focus on what you know. One of the traits of the hypocrites is that they tie themselves to the past and the future, but not to the present. They don't live in the present. They say that if tomorrow comes, a different version of me will show up. لَإِنْ أَخَّرْتَنِي إِلَىٰ أَجَلٍ قَرِيبٍ. If you delay me, then I'll switch. Or قَالَ رَبِّ ارْجِعُونَ. Send me back. لَعَلِّي أَعْمَلُ صَالِحًا فِيمَا تَرَكْتُ. So that I can do good with that which I left behind. The hypocrite lives in the past and lives in the future and has all these supposed selves that would come out in the past differently or come out in the future differently. The mu'min lives in the present. And the intidar of the mu'min, the calculations of the mu'min, is not waiting for a circumstance that's out of their hands. Mata sa'a, the Prophet ﷺ said, إِذَا ضُيِعَتَ الْأَمَانَةِ فَانْتَظِرِ السَّاعَةِ. When trust is lost, then wait for the hour. Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says, إِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرَ الصَّبَاحِ وَإِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَظِرِ الْمَسَاءِ. It's very simple. When you wake up, the calculation that you're making is, I don't believe that I'm going to live to see the evening. And when you go to sleep at night, I don't believe that I'm going to live to see the morning. Because there is a tomorrow that's uncertainty, مَا لَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. And then there is a tomorrow that is certain, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَلْتَنْظُرْ نَفْسٌ مَا قَدَّمَتْ لِغَدٍ. O you who believe, fear Allah and look to what you have prepared for tomorrow. And this tomorrow is what Qatada rahimahullah mentions is, السَّاعَةِ is the hour. And he said, rahimahullah, قَرَّبَ السَّاعَةِ حَتَّى جَعْلَهَا كَالْغَدْ. Allah Azza wa Jal has made the day of judgment so near to us that it's like he made it tomorrow. And so don't talk about what you might be tomorrow or what you're planning for tomorrow as if a different version of yourself should come out. Expect that Allah is going to surprise you with all sorts of things in life. And have husn al-dhan in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah will give you in that process, a good assumption of Allah that Allah will give you in that process, what gives you the best potential to be the best Muslim. Not the exact specifications of what you prepare. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not let, لا يضيع أجر المحسنين. Allah will not let the good deeds that you have planted go to waste. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the best of this life, the best of the next, and protect us from the fire. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروا إنه الغفور الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن والاه. اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات إنك سميع قريب مجيب الدعوات. اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا واعف عنا ولا تعذبنا. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. اللهم إنك عفو كريم تحب العفو فاعف عنا. اللهم اغفر لوالدينا رب ارحمهما كما ربونا صغارا. ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين في فلسطين. اللهم انصر إخواننا المستضعفين والمجاهدين في فلسطين وفي السودان وفي سوريا وفي كل مكان. اللهم أصلح أحوال إخواننا المنكوبين في كل مكان. اللهم عليك بأعدائك أعداء الدين. اللهم أرنا فيهم عجائب قدرتك. اللهم أهلك الظالمين بالظالمين وأخرجنا وإخواننا من بينهم سالمين. عباد الله، إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون. فاذكروا الله يذكركم واشكروه على النعمة يزد لكم ولذكر الله أكبر والله يعلم ما تصنعون. وأقم السلم.